Well, thank you for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. This episode is brought to you by our super fan, Shelly at Save On Foods. We're going to give a shout out to Shelly, our super fan. Anyways, my name is Andrew. The guys are both looking like that's the dumbest thing ever. If you listen and you tell us, then maybe you'll get a shout out too. Anyways, this is Andrew, and with me as always, Cameron.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, and Corlin.
Hello. It's me again. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening.
It's early on a Monday morning.
It is.
Hope you're blessed.
Tuesday. Oh, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, you're like, oh, man, I got to go.
Second Monday.
Yes, it is Tuesday today. So this podcast, if you're listening for the first time, we talk about theology and the Bible and what it looks like to follow Jesus and trying to make sense of maybe some deep things that have to do with the Word of God. So we've done a whole bunch of episodes about the attributes of God and different things like that. So today, and probably for a couple weeks, we actually want to talk about spiritual gifts. And
it's a meaty topic.
It is. So that's why we might take a few weeks to dive into, depending on like who you read. There's, you know, there's 19 spiritual gifts, there's 12, you know, there's different interpretations of how many gifts there are, but it'll take a couple of weeks to kind of dive into some of them. Like a whole podcast about the gift of administration, that's going to be an ear pleaser. But anyways, today we want to throw it out there. Okay, what are spiritual gifts? Maybe that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe we should start with why do we want to talk about it though? Why do we want to talk about spiritual gifts?
Why do we want to talk about that, Corlin?
That's a good question, Andrew. What do you think, Cameron?
To have developed the question, normally you settle on some form of answer. We'll bounce off of this.
Wow, this is goodness.
I would start off by saying that there's a lot of misconception about what spiritual gifts are, what they look like in the church,
yep,
how they should be used, when they're used, why they're used, why God gave them to us, why, right? I think that it's pretty clear even in First Corinthians 12 where Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be uninformed either, right? These are... The Bible has answers to this, so why not look into it if we have questions?
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think you're right. There is confusion around what spiritual gifts are. Is it like this super miraculous zap thing that happens to you, and now you're gifted for? And I've even talked to some people, not a lot, but some people said, "Well, I don't have one." Like, I don't have a spiritual gift. And so, like, I think there's confusion, I think. So that's a good point, like, mm-hmm, to clear up why God gives spiritual gifts, what is the purpose of them. And then hopefully for people who may be listening to go, yeah, what is my gift and how can I use it for God's kingdom? And that, I guess, would be a win if people are going, hey, I want to learn what my gifts are and how I can use them. So, super, like, existential question to start with. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the what, why? So, so what are they? What are spiritual gifts? I guess I'll just throw that out. Do we have a definition? Or like, what are they? Is it anything that I'm good at? Or, like, what?
They're gifts that are spiritual.
Yeah, well, I think when you do any kind of quick search, you're right away taken to Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. But again, to the why, like, we can glance over and we'll read those spiritual gifts, but what differentiates them being a spiritual gift from someone who's just really gifted naturally in administration or gifted, ooh, naturally in listening? I've had there are people in my circle right now who would not call themselves Christians, but they're some of the best listeners and caring people that I've interacted with in a long time.
Yeah.
So what does make it then a spiritual gift, afterwards? Or, you know, maybe once they're enlightened, they're not that great of a listener afterwards. Maybe they're going to start exercising a different gift. So I thought about that. I thought about that some time ago. Like, I've met really gifted people, and when I started to read through how Paul defines gifts, I don't know. I have not really. I've wrestled with that a little bit, but not enough to say like, what makes it spiritual? Like, at what point does that gift become from God if someone is just truly gifted in a way?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a generic like wisdom just in all things, right? Because some might call Stephen Hawking wise, but that may not be a spiritual gift of wisdom that Paul might have been talking about. So what do you think about that? Andrew?
Blasphemy. Yeah. People are like, who are they talking to? I think there is, that's where some misconception is. Cause I've even talked to some Christians who are like, well, I'm really good at soccer. It's like, well, no, that's an ability. You may be gifted in...
Only if you play for the church.
Only if you play on our church league. Boom, spiritual gift. Or, I love to sing. I've heard that. Or play the drums. And I'm serving. And, yes, I think those are gifts. I don't think, like, an ability or something that you're naturally just good at necessarily qualifies as a spiritual gift. And we'll get into the lists, right? Because I go by what the Bible says. These are what the spiritual gifts are. But you're right, because I know people who are really gifted communicators, but they wouldn't have the spiritual gift of teaching. But they're great teachers. But if they're not following Jesus, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell inside them. So it's not a gift that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's just they're just naturally really good at it. So I think a spiritual gift is one that's empowered by the Holy Spirit and then specifically used in any ministry of the church to like further the kingdom of God, basically. So if someone's like, I'm really good at, so like a non-Christian, for instance, I'm really good at teaching, but they're using it to further their own career and stuff like that. Like, well, they're not necessarily furthering the kingdom of God. So that's where I kind of differentiate. Spiritual gifts were given to equip the church to carry out its ministry until Jesus comes back.
Yeah, to strengthen others' faith and stuff.
Yeah, so yeah. I've even asked people like, well, do I use my gifts outside of the church? Yep, if you're advancing kingdom, right? It's not like I can only show mercy to church people.
While you're on stage, yeah.
Yeah, but you're using your gift specifically to further God's kingdom. It's to build his church, to build his kingdom. So that's how I would classify a spiritual gift. It goes beyond like just a natural ability or something I'm just like good at, right? Like I'm good at programming websites or whatever. Okay, that's great. But and even if you're doing that to program a church's website, I don't know if that's a spiritual gift. You might just be really good at programming. That's great, and we need people like you. But I think the spiritual gifts are the ones that are clearly given to us in these few passages that we'll get into. So maybe we'll just do that. So there's basically, and then, like I said, we're going to spend some weeks debating and talking about, you know, are all these gifts around today? How do they operate? Like, we won't get into that today. Well, maybe we will. You never know. But Romans 12 is the first passage that Paul talks. This is a short one. He talks about gifts of grace. And I love that almost in every passage where it talks about spiritual gifts, it starts by talking about not thinking too highly of yourself, which is great. It's right. So good. He's like, I'm going to tell you about all these great gifts you have. But before that, like, don't be prideful. It's so good. Because that's the tendency. Like, ooh, I'm gifted in.
Yeah. I'm the most humble person in this church.
Nobody's more humble than me. So Paul says, like, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment according to the measure of faith that God's assigned. And for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And then he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And then he moves on to this passage about love. You know, love. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. So you see a few gifts mentioned there. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, like generosity, leading, and acts of mercy. And then there's some overlap if you go to 1 Corinthians 12. And we won't, the whole chapter is about spiritual gifts. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but that's the one where it's like, you know, don't, if you're not a hand, don't say that, oh, I'm just an eye or whatever, right? Talking about how we need all these gifts, and you can't say, like, my gift's not as important as the other one.
And they're all evidenced by one Spirit, I think, and that's key moving forward as we start to unpack differences between them. That in 1 Corinthians, Paul does say all of these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Yeah.
I think that's such a cool little nugget of information. Like, I was reading it this morning again, and I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of pull in the human heart to kind of try and claim those as ours. And yes, God has given them to us, but like to claim them in ours in the sense that, well, they kind of identify us as Christians, so to speak. Like, if you can show that you have spiritual gifts, then, oh, well, now you're a Christian. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives them to you. That they're God-given gifts, and usually it's pretty solid trend in the Bible that any gift God gives is to bring glory to him and not to the person who he gives it to. And I think that that's a really cool little nugget of information is to recognize that they're God-given for God's glory, not God-given for your glory, not God-given for your buddy's glory. Right?
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point. Because even, he says early on, you know, there's a variety of gifts, the same Spirit, varieties of service, the same Lord, varieties of activities, the same God who empowers them all. And to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, like, your spiritual gift is for the glory of God and for the common good of the church. Like, it's to bless the church, basically. And then he says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. So there's a spiritual gift, the utterance of wisdom. Some of these sound so epic. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then if you go down to 28, it says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. And then he stresses the importance that not everybody has the same gift. Are all apostles? And we would say, no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No, of course not. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? So he ends by, because if you understand what was going on in Corinth, they were all arguing over which gifts they had. And he's, oh, man, he's an apostle, and I just have the gift of faith or whatever, right? And so he's saying, like, you know, do you all have all the gifts? No, of course not. And we skipped over. There's the whole part about, like, you know, the body, your human body is made up of all these parts. And just because, you know, the foot says, I'm not a hand, I don't belong. It's like, well, no, you're different. And that's good because it makes up the body. It would be weird, right, if we were just one big eye walking around. Well, that's Paul's point. Like, so even back then in the early church, they were arguing over, I want the teaching gift. I don't want the faith gift. Blah.
Yeah, and it all kind of stems back to even the disciples and their language around, you know, which one of us is better? Who sits at your right hand? You know, like, it's human nature in so many ways to want to, like Corlin, you suggested, edify yourself and, you know, claim responsibility for your gifts, your salvation through works. And it's just wild how we see that replayed over and over. Up till this day, this week, where I'm sure some of us were navigating thoughts and, you know, wow, I did that really well, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, I'm really good at that. I'm sure you feel like that every Sunday after the sermon. When you walk back to your office, like, boom.
Nailed it.
Mic drop.
Yeah, right. I just need to have a microphone that I can drop.
Yeah, a prop, yeah.
I'll get you a foam one for your birthday.
No. Don't. I don't want to be struck down. But you're right. It is that. That's the because yeah. So we joke, but really, that there's a human sinfulness that yes, that thought does cross your mind, and just like the disciples, just like the early church, like yeah, because they are these supernatural gifts. It's so easy to be like, man, I really nailed it, because you can very quickly lose the sight that, like, oh, right, that's the Spirit who's actually empowering me. Like, it has actually nothing to do with me. God doesn't need me. Like, he can just do this without me. Mm-hmm. And I've shared before stories about how God made that loud and clear in my own life, that he doesn't need me. But you're right. So yeah, you see that list of gifts there. And some overlap with Romans, right? He talks about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then later on, apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles, healing, helps, administration, tongues. Ephesians 4:11, we won't go there, but he talks about, you know, the church has been given apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And then in 1 Peter 4, and I love it, Peter, like Paul, like lists out all of these, blah, 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 and Peter basically says, like, whoever speaks and whoever serves, like, boom, two gifts, okay? I love it. He's like, Paul's so long-winded. And he basically clumps them all into, like, speaking gifts, whoever speaks, and then whoever serves. So,
right. And we're watching and we're reading the evolution of the church.
Can't
say
evolution. The creation. I'm just kidding.
That's an eye roll for all of you that are like, yeah.
Yeah.
We're watching the development of the Christian faith where gifts are necessary and needed to be widespread for the propulsion of this faith belief. There's so many, like, I think
there's 120 believers when Jesus leaves.
Right. And
I'm gonna send you the Spirit so you can go change the entire world.
Which will include speaking languages, which will include interpreting languages to the Gentiles so that they can experience the life-saving knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's alive and well today. It's just different, I think, in some ways. We see these and we want to point our finger around the church and start identifying, you know, people and their purpose, where it's like, Debbie just wants to come. She's actually broken. You know what I mean? Like, quit calling her a teacher.
What's your gift?
But we do that, and I think it's important, like we'll get into, like, it is important to acknowledge how the Spirit is moving and working within your life and how that's manifested for the upbringing of the church. But, you know, I just envision these guys and women sharing this gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they probably weren't quick to be like, and now here's a book where you can identify your five spiritual gifts. It's
here's how to grow in speaking in tongues.
It's like it was life and death because of the persecution and the growth of the church. Like, it was just different. And I wonder how we get back to that. How we say, like, this is something that's been given
before
to you.
Before
you
go on your missionary journey, Paul, let's take your Myers-Briggs and see.
your love languages, your Myers-Briggs, and your spiritual gift test.
To determine how much we fund you.
Yeah.
Looks like you're still making tents, Paul. You got a bit of a temper.
Love languages. Gifts? Come on, man. No way.
We were talking about spiritual gifts, not love language gifts.
Oh, my. I get so confused with popular Christian trendy literature.
Oh, man. Yep.
And yeah, folks, we apologize.
Yeah, sorry. This is us.
So, have you seen evidence of spiritual gifts in the church here, like in Fort St. John?
That's a good question. Yeah, I can think of, and I won't name people because I don't know if they want me to, but yeah, I can think of specific people that I go, okay, for sure, you know, when Paul talks about the gift of mercy, like, yes, man, oh man, I can.
Our wives.
Yeah, dealing with us. But there are, yeah, I can think of specific people that that they clearly have that gift, and they are just so they're meeting with people, and they show like just acts of mercy to people.
It's not natural.
Yeah, and then you know you talk about the gift of hospitality that some people just are gifted in that, and they open up their homes to others, and they just thrive in doing that. I can think of several people. You know, we have very gifted people who can teach. Not, and I'm not saying, you know, Sunday morning for the 40 minutes. We have very gifted women who teach. We have very gifted men who teach in our life groups, in Bible studies. So I've seen that gift. The gift of administration, as much as everyone's like, oh, I'd hate to get that gift. We need those people, and we have people in this mm-hmm. church. And the stuff that they do just naturally, and the stuff that they think of to help everything, just like stuff that I don't even think of. Like, for mm-hmm. instance, someone was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting the insurance person to come and do an assessment of our building, because then that changes the tax, blah, blah, blah. All that. I'm like, I would never in my wildest dreams have thought of that, because that's not – my mind doesn't think that. But they're just – boom. And they're just using their gift to
– yeah.
To A, be like save the church money and be good stewards, and to so yeah, there's lots of people that are using their gifts in the church.
How do you think the church can encourage people to use their gifts without encouraging, dare I say, the overuse or the attempted overuse? Like how do we encourage people to grow in the gifts that God has given them to minister to the church, to serve the church, without making it sound like a do more?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll ask you guys, and maybe people listening, because there's lots of people I know that have no idea, like, you know, where they're gifted. Because the Bible, I think, is really clear that I think every follower of Jesus has a or several spiritual gifts.
Yeah,
because the Holy Spirit indwells you, and Paul seems to make it pretty clear when he's writing, and Peter, when they're writing to Christians, it's not like, now, some of you who have the spiritual gifts. No, he's saying, like, he's writing to the church, assuming that, like, even in 1 Peter 4:10, I wrote it down, as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So Peter just is writing, and he's saying, you know, as each of you has received a gift, use it. And even 1 Timothy 4, that's specifically about Timothy, but Paul says to Timothy, don't neglect the gift you have. So I think every follower of Jesus has one or several, right? And we can get into that. Like, how many gifts do I have? Some people have several, and some people have one. And again, it's not I'm better than you because I have two spiritual gifts. But I know lots of Christians that have no idea. If you would ask them, like, hey, what are your spiritual gifts? I don't know. So some people aren't serving in the church, A, because it's like, I don't know where I would serve.
I'm not a pastor.
Or they serve in places where they're not gifted, and then that inevitably leads to burnout because you're doing something that you're not gifted in, right? And yeah. Sometimes, yes, there's just a need, and you do it, right? But I have found when people serve in an area where they've actually been gifted by God, there's so much more like joy, and you'll hear people say, like, I get way more out of this than when I, like, it's not a drain to come. And like mm-hmm. someone who has the gift of teaching, I'm thinking of one lady, she comes, and not right now because of COVID, but she comes and she would teach the grade 5-6 girls and like just loved it. And every single week would come up with these ideas and then contact the girls outside of the Sunday. And you could just go, man, you are gifted in that. And it wasn't exhausting because that's her gift, right? So I'm going to throw it out to you guys. Like, how did you guys go about, or do you know what your gifts are? And if so, how did you go about... I took the Taylor Johnson spiritual gift test, and that's a real thing, right? So that's fine. But how did you go about figuring out, like, this is where I'm gifted and this is where God wants me to serve. And maybe that would encourage people who are listening going, I don't know where to serve, or I don't know where to.
Do you need a moment to think?
No, I'm good.
Go for it.
That's interesting, the way you present natural abilities and gifts versus what is spiritual. Throughout my own journey over the last about 15 years around nonprofits, I started serving people, and I really enjoyed it, and doing different functions, but never really felt like a natural kind of like heart desire. It was like, could I build good case plans and remember details of a person's life? Yes, because I feel like I have a good memory. Like, I think that's just something that I've practiced, you know, making notes too. I don't believe in my own personal life that that's a spiritual gifting, because it's just something I've always done for work. Like, you know, someone would tell me about their grandparent. I'd ask the name, what happened. You know, I would pray with them. They'd turn around and I would make a little note in my book. Then when they asked me to come and meet again, I would quickly reference, because I didn't remember their name. Like, I didn't remember anything about them.
Yeah.
But as I grew in my profession, I actually gravitated towards administration, towards policymaking, and towards looking at an overarching view of the way our ministry runs. And I really feel fulfilled in that role.
Yep.
And so I'm blessed that there are people on the ground who seem to love what they're doing. And I really like creating change from an administrative perspective. And I do feel, and that was one thing I wanted in my own professional development, was to get to a point where you can see something, create a little change on paper, and watch the ripple effect and how that impacts people's lives. And so I feel fulfilled in that way. But yeah, there are just natural giftings that I feel like I perform that because it's my role, and it does, you know, it's part of my job. And, you know, I take some of that home, and my wife hates it when, you know, I pick up on things. That's not what I meant. I'm like, well, it's what you said. I mean, I remember the words that came out of your mouth. That's an awful way to begin a conversation with your wife. But but it's kind of like I got to switch out. Oh, right, I should be, you know, more forgiving and graceful, because I'm more compartmentalized in my mind. Like, okay, turn on the grace. But it's true. I have to, you know, there's been times where my wife has said, you're such a good husband. I'm like, maybe I'm a good actor. I don't know. Because I do, like,
aren't they the same?
You know, for more than half my life, I've spent being very selfish, and before I met my wife, being very away from God, and so I've had to condition myself to respond in a godly way. But there are some things that are natural, and administration for me is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy reading policy.
Yeah.
Or thinking about the tax deductions and breaks and how that can be manipulated to buy more food for the food bank, because we get to navigate an exemption, you know?
I don't know if math is a spiritual gift.
It is.
Oh, I don't have that one then.
Thank goodness. But yeah, and it's interesting because your profession is, it's always interesting with like ministry, because you are using your gifts to advance God's kingdom, right? And you're in a very practical way. And I want to be clear too, it's not like only things that take place in the church count.
No.
Because if I'm a Christian business person, I'm just trying to come up with an example, and I have the gift of administration, can I use that in my job to advance God's kingdom and further the gospel? Yeah, probably. So again, I want to be clear, because I think some people hear like, oh, okay, I have the gift of mercy, I got to figure out a way where I can do that in the church. And it's like, well, no. Because the whole point is the spiritual gifts are to build up and edify the church, and that's more than just the Sunday morning, right? That's
yeah. And I'll take a little rabbit trail, because I've shared being in Christian ministry for a profession, like, I found it more difficult to stay on track with personal devotion and my relationship with God than when I was a crane operator at a steel mill. Because I had to be very intentional about volunteering, about talking to people about God. I worked by myself in a machine for 10 hours a day. And so I would say, you know, to when your spiritual gift lines up with your profession, it is a mm-hmm. blessing, but it's not common. So you have to find ways. And I think of our Christian school teachers who are in the church, you know, it might be easy to think, well, teaching is my spiritual gift, but maybe not. Maybe it is love and grace and mercy.
Yeah.
And maybe teaching is your job.
Yeah.
Yep. And so it doesn't have to align.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's good. Because even the in Romans, it talks about the gift of contribution, right, or giving, or generosity, the one who contributes in generosity. And I can think of several people in our church that that is so, so clearly a spiritual gift that they have. And God has really blessed them with a booming businesses. And it's really awesome to see that God has really blessed them with wealth, and yet you see them using their spiritual gift of not like, sweet, I'm going to, mm-hmm. they just give it away. And you can just see like, man, that person is very gifted in, and God has equipped them then to actually use their gift. Like, and I guess you don't have to be wealthy to have the gift of giving. I want to be clear, but you see when God has gifted someone to just, it's a supernatural thing that they're just like, here, have this. I'm going to give this. And you're like, man, that's above and beyond. Like, we're all called to be generous, but that goes like, wow, that is mm-hmm. crazy generous. And so you can see that gift. So for you, Corlin, what gifts do you have, or how did you figure them out? Or
it's funny because I can actually always feel very self-conscious when I talk about my own spiritual gifts. It's like, oh,
I hope you're going to say interpretation of tongues.
No, sorry.
Yeah. Let me demonstrate my gift.
That was complete
quick
and utter.
Stop! Quick stop! Sorry.
Yeah, no, not that. I always feel self-conscious because there's like an element of like, well, what if I'm wrong? Like, what if that isn't a gift? But I've been encouraged by others, and I think I want to start out with that before I talk about my gifts, is if you're unsure of what your gifts are, dare I say it might be because you're not serving. Dare I say it might be because you're not using them. I was unsure for a long time of what some of my spiritual gifts were, and through starting to serve in the church and in studies with others, and even just to try and serve others, I've had people come forward and tell me like what they've seen God doing in my life and what areas they see that God has gifted me in. One of which is teaching, and I've been told preaching, but I don't know. That was kind of a one-time go so far. But like,
yeah. Give it time. Okay?
Yeah, I'm going to give that one time before
obviously
I just settle on it.
Gift was mercy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. They were merciful. But
the gift of flattery.
Yeah.
Insults through the Bible. Yeah, right?
The wow. gift of lying.
That was a sick spiritual gift burn.
I think that other people often see our spiritual gifts more than we might.
Yep.
Because they're gifts. It comes naturally to us because God has given us greater abilities in that area, right? So you might not even notice that you're really good at something or have a spiritual gift in a certain area until someone tells you. So that's kind of how I found some of them is through ministry, through serving in the church. And I don't mean serving in the church by saying preaching on a Sunday or making sure that you're on the worship team, or like, I don't mean the super visual things. It's even down to stuff like working in the sound booth. It's down to stuff like,
yeah, that can be service, right?
Yeah.
I love that there's a whole category of gifts called helps. I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like it's, and I know people like that who are like, be on the stage. No, thank you. I do not. And I think sometimes this is where the church gets it wrong. We view people that are on the stage as the gifted ones.
Yeah.
And that's such a, well, I can't lead worship. And I can't preach. And that's one gift, right? Preaching is one gift out of.
And it is a very 19. Visible gift.
Yeah, totally. But I know a lot.
And as the guy on the soundboard, they need help.
Sometimes. Yeah, right? There's a little plug.
Yeah.
But there's a little plug to volunteer.
The gift of helps, right, is this behind the scenes. And I actually know quite a few people that are like, listen, I don't want to ever be in front of people.
Yeah.
If you ever need anything behind the scenes, let me know. And I go, I think your gift is helps. Like, you just, you want to help, and you're gifted in giving behind the scenes, and you don't want any credit, you don't want any visibility, and you don't want, and that's awesome. But
yeah.
I think there's that subtle view where it's kind of like only the few, like, visible gifts are the really important ones. And that's just so not true. Because the thing is, if we were all preachers, there'd be no one who could do administration. And that's Paul's whole point in Romans 12. If everyone was preaching, well, then there'd be no mercy shown to people and no interpretation of tongues. Sorry. But there would be, like, the gift of encouraging and the gift of generosity. If we're all just like, we're all going to preach, well, then the church would not fulfill what God's called it to. Mm-hmm. So
in the early church, the idea was that everyone theoretically could preach, but you're going to, because everyone was called to, and still is called to share their faith, to share what God is doing.
Yep.
So we're called to share in that way, but then there are natural giftings that arise from the call for every single person in the church. So you don't get to shy away from something necessarily because it's not your gifting. You still have a command to share what God is doing in your life. You may be very uncomfortable on a stage in front of 200 people and stumble over your words, but when you're at Starbucks having coffee with someone, you are called to teach, to share wisdom, to share, to preach.
Yep. That's a good point. I'm glad you said that, because every Christian should be doing, like, so you can't say, like, well, I don't have the gift of generosity, so I don't have to give. It's like, well, no. Or I don't have the gift of, and I've heard this one specifically, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I don't need to share my faith. It's like, no, the gift of evangelism means someone is just naturally, like, how are you so good at sharing your faith? Well, okay, they have the gift.
Yeah, everyone grows up playing hockey, but there are some gifted kids who make it
into
the NHL.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. We don't just say, like, it's not an excuse, right, to say, well, I don't have to do that because it's not my gift. No, we are all called to show mercy. We're all called to serve. We're all called to do these things. But a spiritual gift, it's like on steroids. Or that's such a terrible way to say it. But it's
especially after a sports analogy.
Yeah, right?
No, I don't know. It comes easy. I think of it like being right or left-handed, right? If you chances are most of us can write with our left hand. And if you're left-handed, then you can write with your left hand. But what I'm saying is there's going to be things that come easier. For me, I'm right-handed. It's easier. It's natural to just write right-handed. I don't think of it. Other people don't even necessarily think of it. But sometimes you either try to write left-handed, or there might be a scenario where you have to write left-handed, right? God can make us use gifts that we didn't know we had, or he can make us grow in other areas too, right? Force us to grow.
Yeah. So I think a good place to start is, like you said, and this is what I always encourage people, is like, just try stuff. Because it's like, well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, try stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. If you try teaching Sunday school and you're going, okay, that was terrible, you're probably, and if the kids aren't getting anything out of it and you're having trouble putting a lesson together, it's probably not your gift. But hey, you gave it a shot, and now you know that teaching is not your gift. Or
but don't be lazy.
Exactly.
Like,
no
practice. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
but I think to not be afraid to try stuff.
Sure.
And then that's a way to know where you are, where you're gifted. And you know, I joke about spiritual gift tests. Sometimes those can be helpful.
Sure.
Even to just give an idea of where to start, maybe.
You're like, ooh, I'm a 98% whatever. And again, like, keep in mind, it's a test. I've taken tests where they're wrong, but
don't use the Facebook ones either, you know.
Yeah, right.
You're a gifted potato.
That's me.
I think of the role of my work for a few years. I was a chaplain at Vancouver Harbor Lake downtown, and I took a 2-year program.
Oh, please turn off your cell phones and the
And so it was a function I had for a while, and I really enjoyed it. But, like, when someone wants to make an appointment and talk, I have to, like, prepare myself. I'm like, okay, got to go into listening mode. Like, it's not natural, but it's something I can do and I don't mind doing, but it is not a gift. a spiritual gift that I would say. So, but it's something that took discipline and practice and, and a little bit of education. And so there could be those things, and, and you have to push through, because I do feel like we should exercise. Well, these are spiritual gifts, but they are part of Christian living.
And I tell people too, I think you know when it's a spiritual gift, for me at least, when you feel like energized. And I don't want to say in like a weird,
all new agey,
in like a mystical, you feel energy, not like that. But someone has asked, like, man, don't you ever get, like, exhausted preaching? Yep, but also, because it's my gift, that's when I preach, I call it my sweet spot. That's where I'm using the spiritual gift that God's given me. So, no, I don't find it like, ugh, man, I gotta go preach now. It's like, weeks that I don't preach, I'm, like, itching to preach, because it's my gift, right? Mm. So I think you will know, to a certain extent, you'll know what your spiritual gift is when it's kind of like, man, it's just, it's my sweet spot. When I get to go to the hospital and show mercy to people and visit with them, like, so I think of that is not my gift, and it's weird being a pastor, and I have to, like you said, really discipline myself, because I know that it's what you just got to do. But, like, so I think of a guy like Ernie clearly has the gift of mercy, because several days a week he'll just go to the hospital and walk around and visit with people and encourage them, and he likes doing that. And you kind of go, okay, you're clearly gifted, because for some people it's like, I'm going to use any excuse I can to get out of this, because I just don't want to do this. And yet, right, all Christians were called to do that. Mm-hmm. But for him, he's like, man, I get jazzed up doing it. I love going to visit people. I love showing mercy. So I would encourage you, that's one way to kind of know what your gift is. Like, what, when you do it, it gives you life, and you're going, man, I just love when I get to do this. And like you said, Corlin, too, the other thing is people often can affirm gifts in you. That's how, like, when I was in high school, I started teaching a boys' Sunday school class. That was my first kind of, I think I was in grade 11 or 12, and I taught a grade 4 or 5 boys Sunday school class. And that's when I started going, like, man, I really like teaching. And then I had a few parents then who kind of affirmed, hey, I think you actually have a gift of teaching. Oh, and I, you know, being a grade 11 or 12, I'm like, oh, okay, that's, but it was someone who saw a gift, right? That maybe, so if some, I think that's one way we can encourage one another. Like, I know, Corlin, when you've preached before, I know people have come up and said, like, hey, I think you might have a gift in that, right? And so pursue that. And it looks like it's more than just, yeah, I can force myself to preach. It looks like maybe it's a gift there. So pursue that. So I think we can encourage one another too in when we see gifts in one another. So, and then, yeah, take a spiritual gift test. And so I don't know if we have anything else we want to say. I know, like, in the weeks to come, let's dig into, like, some of these specific ones, and we'll get into the air quotes weird ones that we're all like, what is that? Words of knowledge and all that kind of stuff. We'll get into all of those things, but I would really encourage you, if you're listening and you're a Christian, that you do have spiritual gifts. The Bible's pretty clear that every follower of Jesus has a gift or gifts. And then, like, Paul encourages Timothy, he says, don't neglect the gift you have. Like, and I say it like this, like, the church, if you're a part of a church and you have a spiritual gift and you're not using it, the church is suffering, because we need everyone's gifts. Like, we can't actually, like Paul says, we can't fulfill the mission just with one guy or two people. Like, we need all of these gifts in order to pursue the mission. I'm not saying that as a guilt trip, but as an encouragement. Like, if you're a Christian and you're in a church, you have a gift, and the church needs your gift to further the kingdom. So figure out maybe where you're gifted, and then
don't try to overthrow your pastor.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Sorry, I've got the gift. We're going to vote you out.
Yeah, don't do that.
I hope you guys are all okay with sarcasm.
No, they're like, oh, Cam's going to overthrow the pastor. No. He was just joking.
No, I'll just organize the vote administration.
Because he's got the administration. That's funny. Man, this was a well-organized coup. How did this happen?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, man. So anyways, if you're interested in this stuff for the next couple weeks, we're going to just dive into what some of these gifts are and what's the purpose of them and how they operate. So hopefully you've been encouraged, and we'll leave it at that.